at sundry times, and in divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made us, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had, by himself, purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And we've already discussed the first part of that verse. Let's talk about the last part for a little while. Being made so much better than the angels. Well, let's talk about the first part again a little more. I see some points here. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Okay, why is it necessary for the writer to prove that Jesus is better than the angels? You know Jesus is better than the angels. I know Jesus is better than the angels. So why does the writer go to such great labor to prove that Jesus is better than the angels? Well, I think we have to know some things about that day, the day in which this was written. And we can go back to the sermon of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 35 particularly. Stephen in his sermon tells of Israel's deliverance from Egypt and the part that the angels had in it. This Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And verse 38, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Now when you read the Old Testament narrative, you don't read all these little things. But when you read the New Testament explanation of the Old Testament stories, you learn more. And I think it's great to read the New Testament before you make some sermon out of the Old Testament. For instance, I've heard a lot of people preach out of the Old Testament, and Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. That dirty Lot, you know. But Peter writes about Lot and says, that just man who was vexed in his righteous soul.
Amen.
You know, what a different picture you get.
Right.
So, you know, when you read the Old Testament, be sure you check it out with the New Testament.
Amen.
Because you don't need my interpretation. You need Peter's interpretation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Okay. The Jews regarded the angels with respect and awe because of their place in the giving of the law. So Stephen said in Acts 7:53, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Now you might read a verse, or maybe even two in the Old Testament that talks about the association of the angels with the giving of the law. But in the New Testament, it is absolutely taught and established, who hath received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Galatians 3:19, another New Testament verse on this subject. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator, and the mediator was Moses. Well, obviously they had more feelings toward angels, maybe even not more knowledge, but more experience with them in those days than we have today. For instance, the angels coming to Abraham and Abraham feeding them and so on. Now, you may have been visited by an angel and not even know it. You know, the Bible says be careful to entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unawares thereby. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So, there was a tendency in those days to worship angels, even in the new church, like the church of Colossians, or the New Testament church, excuse me, like the church of Colossians 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward excuse me, in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Angels were so respected by these people that they even went to worshiping angels. We don't do that. We say we know better. Okay, hold that one. Intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, the angels are admittedly very glorious beings. There's no question about that. They are far more glorious and excellent than men. And I've done studies on angels, and among the many things I discovered, you know, that Jesus was not Michael the Archangel, or Michael the Archangel was not Jesus, like the Jehovah's Witnesses will preach at your door. But the angels are glorious beings, and in fact, they are the most glorious, the most excellent of all creatures. Can you think of a creature higher than an angel? A whale? A minnow? An eagle? A man? What is higher than an angel? Man is made lower than angels. Okay, so they are the most excellent of all creatures. We know of no greater beings than angels except God. Now, a man came to earth and walked for 33 and a half years. People looked at him, and we've been through that lesson, when he made himself a little lower than the angels for a period of time. I'm talking about Jesus. And now the author is picking that story up and saying, angels are glorious creatures, but Jesus is more glorious. Angels are great, but Jesus is greater. Amen. And because he was a little while made a little lower than the angels. Now, I know it says he was made a little lower than the angels, but I like to put it this way. Because he was for a little while made a little lower than the angels. For 33 and a half years, he was made a little lower than the angels. That's Jesus. Now he is said to be made so much better than the angels. Remember the previous lesson a week before last? Last week we had the Lemkes with us, and Sister Lemke gave her testimony of the death of her sister. But anyway, we talked about how he was made a little lower than the angels, and now we read he was made so much better than the angels. So we asked the question, at what time was he made lower? And we learned that he was made lower than the angels during his incarnation while he was here on the earth for 33 and a half years. And now it says he was made so much better than the angels. And you remember that I said that I feel safe in saying that Jesus never was lower than the angels, and therefore he never was made better than the angels, because in essence he always was better than the angels. But he humbled himself, he divested himself of deity, and he came to earth, and he lived, and he suffered, he bled, he died as a human being, as a man. And by looking at him, flesh and blood would never reveal to you, his flesh and blood would never reveal to you that this was God, that this was deity. So he said to Peter, flesh and blood have not revealed this to me, but my Father which is in heaven. Amen. And then we talked about the revelation of the oneness. But the point I'm trying to make is that he was once made lower and he was once made higher than the angels. Although essentially he is God. And he's higher than anything always. But because of his humiliation, he had to be made higher than the angels. This was an honor that he earned, as it were. You have to understand what I'm saying. He came and he lived this perfect and this holy life, and he had the right to ascend into heaven, the authority to ascend into heaven. Oh, that's fantastic. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he went from a state of humiliation to a state of exaltation. Remember, he was on earth. He was made lower than the angel. Now, that's unbelievable, you know, if we didn't have faith. That's hard to comprehend. Made lower than angels, the very angels that he created. And now, after finishing his mission on this earth, ascending into heaven, being made so much better than the angels. Why? Because he was essentially better than the angels. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So the writer now begins his arguments that prove that Jesus is greater than all angels. He says, he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. The subject now is Jesus and angels, right? Jesus versus the angels versus Jesus. Not in war, but in the writer's mind, an argument here, that Jesus is better than the angels. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Angels are only servants of God, who maketh his angels ministers. And a flame of fire. We'll get into that one a little later. I'm getting ahead of myself. But angels are only servants of God, but Jesus is the Son of God. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Angels do have names. We have names of two angels in the Bible. We have the angel Gabriel, and we have Michael the archangel. Two angels are named, but I believe that if Jesus can name the stars, he can name all the angels, you know, and though their names are not revealed, you can be sure angels have names. So he says, he hath obtained a more excellent name than they. But even though they do have names, not one angel is called Son, capital S-O-N. Not one angel has ever been called Son. We'll get into that. He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And I'm going to digress for a moment because I love this thought. And that is the inheritance. Reading through the Old Testament, even teaching here in the Sunday school class for a couple years on the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, we came to Deuteronomy 21:17. We learned that he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. Okay, so the firstborn in a family got a double portion of the inheritance. Twice as much as anybody else. He got a double portion of the inheritance. So in Israel, the firstborn received that double portion of the inheritance. Jesus is the firstborn. So what does he get? A double portion? Huh? Who said he gets it all? You're right. He gets it all. You know why? He's not only the firstborn, he's the only begotten son. He's the only begotten son of God. God only had one son. When we were born, we weren't born the son of God, or even sons of God, you know. He only had one son, so he inherits all. Not just a double portion, he inherits all. And I thought about that, and I thought, I'm going to go ahead and share this with the Sunday school, and I hope they don't throw me out. But nobody had to die for Jesus to receive the inheritance. His father couldn't die anyway. Nobody had to die for him to receive the inheritance. It was his already. When he came to this earth and walked this earth, the Sea of Galilee that he boated on and walked on, he created. Amen. The hills that he climbed, he created them. He said to a lady, give me to drink. He created the water that he asked to drink of. So by right of creation, he is the owner and the heir of all things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, then I thought, and I tell you, I just wept before the Lord when I thought about this. You know, why then did he die? Well, why then did he die? What? There's always an inheritance, you know, when somebody dies, something. Why did he die? Or why must he die? The point is, he didn't die for himself. He didn't die so he could get the inheritance, or somebody didn't die so he could get the inheritance. He already owned it all. Right. He died that you and I might be included in the inheritance. Amen. He died that we might be joint heirs with him. Man, I think that is so fantastic. He died for you and for me. He died that we might enjoy all of his glory forever and ever. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We might benefit. Amen. But it wasn't apparent who he really was the first time he came. It wasn't apparent who he really was the first time he came. But as the song says, it'll be different the next time he comes. Wait and see. Hallelujah. What, page 317 in the songbook? But the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:15, which in his times he will show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Right now, people don't know who we are. They don't know that we are joint heirs of the universe.
Amen.
Of everything, of the new heavens and the new earth, the new universe. People look at you, they don't know what you've got. You go to work with your lunch bucket just like they do. You set it down and eat white bread and slab meat and peanut butter and jelly, and you drink Hills Brothers coffee or butternut just like they do. Some like Folgers. We're all human. They look at you, they don't know what's in your breast. They don't know that you are a son of God. They don't know that you've been born again and there's a new creature on the inside of you. They don't know that all these things they are clamoring greedily to get and to possess, it's all yours.
Hallelujah.
They only have it for a few years. We're going to have it forever.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is, be patient. Just like Jesus was patient. He put up with 33 and a half years. He said, how long shall I suffer you? I feel the same way sometimes, don't you? How long do we have to stay here in this sin-infested world? But he did it. He fulfilled his mission. He didn't just sit on a hill somewhere and wait. And now the glory. And the same for you and me. He said, should not Christ suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And the question is actually asked in the scripture, not word for word like this, but should not you and I suffer these things and enter into his glory? If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him, the Bible said. So let's have patience, saints. Let's walk around, not with our heads up and our chest sticking out and saying, huh, you think that gold is yours? You just wait, that's mine. You know, we don't walk around like that. We don't have that spirit or that attitude.
Amen.
Because we've got something better than gold.
Yeah.
And when the Bible describes heaven in terms of gold and jewels and rich, exquisite, expensive things, it's only doing that to relate to our minds.
Right.
Because it's unrelatable, really. Paul said it. He said, I went to heaven and I heard things that are unutterable.
No.
Unimaginable. So no wonder Paul just said, wow, I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me. I don't know. I just got a feeling when they picked up Paul's head, there was a big smile on it.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 It was not apparent who he was, for had they known it, the Bible says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In one place they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother Mary and his father Joseph and his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters? Aren't they here with us? Who is this man? You know, they were offended in him. The Bible says, and the world's offended in you and me. Is not this the carpenter's son? Yeah, but he's not only the carpenter's son, he's the architect that designed the universe, and he's the architect that's building a place for you and me. I go away to prepare a place for you, he said.
Amen.
He has not abandoned you and me.
Amen.
Because Madison is snarling and growling because the DPI doesn't like us and what we're doing. Do you think God's up there? I didn't know it would get out of control like this. Oh, you can be sure God's up there.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You better believe he's got all things under control.
Amen.
He's the architect true, and he's coming for you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is still on the throne.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Let's take the first verse. So the author is reaching back now into the Old Testament, and he comes out with a handful of scriptures to show us that Jesus is better than the angels. So his first argument is, under which of the angels, or his second argument, under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses answer that, and they say, the answer is Michael. I read that to them at the door over here. And I said, what about this verse? Unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And they said, well, that's Michael. The answer is Michael. But listen, you be the judge. This question is asked implying a negative answer.
That's right.
They call that a rhetorical question that implies a negative answer.
That's right.
Unto which, his point is, Jesus is greater than the angels, all angels. So he says, under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? In other words, the implied answer is, unto no angel did he ever say, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Listen, if Jesus was an angel, then there would be no incarnation. Then there would be no salvation. Then there would be no gospel. There would be no good news. Then we are not saved. Then we are lost, even as others who don't believe in the incarnation of Jesus. If Jesus was an angel, then he is robbed of his humanity.
That's right.
And there is no incarnation. There is no gospel. Then he didn't die. And the Bible says he took not on him the nature of angels. Hebrews 2:16. He did not take on him the nature of angels. He took on him the seed of Abraham. He did not become an angel. He became a man. And so when they come to your door, you be sure to know the book of Hebrews. That's one book that disturbs them greatly. The one man came over and I told him just that one verse, and he went back and got the boss. And they both came over and they had the answer, you know. See, the first one, I said, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And he didn't have the answer. He went back and the boss came and said, well, the answer is Michael the archangel. You know, like, you fool, don't you know that? So they're both standing there, and I said, well, let's read the next verse. So we just went on, and it got worse. Until the boss backed up, and he just scratched his head, and he kept reading his Bible. And I have a translation, a copy of their translation of the Bible, the World Bible. I have that myself. So, you know, I can read ahead, be ready. And you'll find out, just like I said here Friday night, that you can get the Douay version of the Bible, you can get the World Translation, you can get Weymouth, you can get Muffet, you can get New English, you can get this revised and that one, and they'll all say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Maybe in different language, but all the words and all the commands will be right there. So, Jesus was born. Angels were created. They weren't born. Jesus wasn't created. When the Bible says Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, that doesn't mean that he was the first thing God created, as some people would have us believe. He was the beginning of created things. He created all things. He began the creation of all things. Without him was not anything made that was made. Boy, I like that. I'll tell you, this mystery of the Godhead is really something. You know, a lot of people are shocked to find out that the Bible says, what and if you see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? We say he came from Bethlehem. The Bible says he came from Bethlehem. But Jesus said he came from heaven.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
That's what he said. He said in John 16:28, he said, I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go back to the Father.
Amen.
That's where he came from.
Yeah.
The only begotten Son was in the bosom of the Father. He had declared him. Oh, it's fantastic. Well, wait a minute now. 1983 comes before 1984. And we start thinking in terms of time. Listen, if you're going to think spiritually, you might as well learn how to toss time out.
Amen.
Because in God's eternal kingdom, there's a timelessness.
Right.
Eternity? You think you're going to have a clock in heaven? Do you think God had a clock?
before he created the world? If we get time, we'll go into that yet.
Praise the Lord.
The second law of thermodynamics is in the scripture. It's been there all the time. Scientists just discovered it. They didn't make it.
That's right.
It's been there all, it's in this chapter. Praise the Lord. We don't know much, but what we know, saints of God, what you and I know, though it be not much, is worth more than everything the world knows without knowing what we know.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Don't you like what you believe?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Praise the Lord.
I get carried away like this in my spirit sometimes. I just have to cry, laugh, shout. I even roll. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Okay. So when he says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, what he is saying is, to no angel did God ever say, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. God never said that to any angel. But angels collectively are called sons of God, like in Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God, see, that's talking about angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And another verse says, in 2:1, it says almost the same thing as 1:6 of Job. And then in Job 38, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And among other things, God asked Job, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Informing Job that man had not been created at that time. So the Lord describes his work of creation and says, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now that phrase, sons of God, there is referring to the angels, like when you read in the Septuagint. All the sons of God shouted for joy. Wouldn't you have liked to heard that shout before you were created, before the earth was here, when all the sons of God, all the angels gathered together before the Lord and shouted for joy?
Praise God.
Well, angels can shout, you know. He's coming with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, the great shout, praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us that. But never has one individual angel ever been called the Son of God. And never has one human being been called the Son of God outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are sons of God.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Son of God. He's the only begotten Son of God. So the point in Hebrews 1:5 is not exactly when Jesus was called the Son of God, but the fact that he was called Son. And that's the greater name. Not servant, but son. He is named son. In contrast with the fact that no angel was ever called son, though collectively they were called sons. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Now this second quotation is from 2 Samuel 7:14. A lot of us know 2 Chronicles 7:14, of my people which are called by my name, and so on. But now we have 2 Samuel 7:14, where it says, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Do you want to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and learn something about how prophecies work? 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16. And when thy days be fulfilled, now the prophet Nathan is speaking from God, and when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee. Nathan is talking to King David from God, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. Now you know who the son of David is. That's Solomon, right? Okay. Now you just apply all this to Solomon for a minute. Okay. I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. Okay. That's true of Solomon. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Okay, that's true. He'll build a house for his name. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Now God is saying, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. Boy, now we're starting to wonder what this means. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Well, believe it or not, hidden in the words of this passage is a prophecy that the writer of Hebrews reaches back and pulls out as proof that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. He is saying that this phrase, this word in 2 Samuel 7:14, I will be to him a father and he shall be to me a son, is referring to Jesus. Referring to Solomon only as a type. Literally, yes. Solomon was David's son and he was the king. But there's a larger fulfillment. And in fact, the only complete fulfillment can be found in Jesus Christ. So Solomon is a type, but Jesus is the true fulfillment. Jesus is the prophetic Son of God. And this is where it comes from. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. In this verse, in this setting today, Matthew 1:1 says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of... Anybody know? Adam? Who? The first verse in the New Testament says, the generation of the book of Jesus Christ, or the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of
David.
Jesus is the prophetic son of David. Remember the angel appeared to Joseph and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Blind Bartimaeus cried out as he was begging by the highway, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Remember at the triumphal entry, people were going before and behind Jesus crying out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And in Revelation 22:16, the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus said, I am the root and offspring of David. I am the offspring of David. In other words, I am the Son of David. Jesus said that. But he said something else strange in that verse. He said, I'm David's father too. And that's what baffled the Jews after they brought all their questions and tried to catch Jesus in his words. Yeah. You know, is it lawful to pay tribute unto Caesar or not? The Pharisees asked, and then the Sadducees came and they said, hey, here's a woman that had seven husbands. Who's going to be your husband in the resurrection? And oh, did Jesus ever answer them? And then remember the lawyer came up and he asked his question. And then Jesus said, now I'm going to ask you a question. What think you of Messiah? Whose son is he? They said, David's. He said, well, that's strange. He said, how come then David in the Spirit calls him Lord? If he's his son, how can he call him his father? And the Bible says, they went, and no man durst ask him any more questions from that day forward. Well, you get on the Godhead, I'll tell you, people don't dare ask any more questions. Really. Because the Bible says plainly Jesus Christ is God. Amen. I hope we have time in the next 8 minutes to get into that. So Jesus himself said in the very last chapter of the last book of the last testament of the Bible, I am the root and the offspring of David. I'm David's father and I'm David's son. You talk about divine. You talk about supernatural.
Amen.
Amen. And then, of course, I like to add this verse. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, David's son, Solomon. And then Jesus, in all his humility, said, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
Hallelujah.
Is he greater than the angels? He's greater than Solomon. He's greater than David. He's greater, greater, greater than anything. Then the writer comes up with another verse. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And when the Jehovah Witness came back with his boss, then I went into this verse. I says, now, you say Michael, the archangel, was an angel. He said, right. I said, well, it says here, let all the angels of God worship him. That means that that Michael, the archangel, was worshiping Jesus, right? He backed up. Couldn't say a word. There it is. No problem for you at all when you know these things.
Amen.
Let all the angels of God worship him. And if you say Michael was Jesus, or Jesus was Michael the archangel, then Jesus worships himself. And I don't read that in the scripture.
Amen.
So it says here, and let all the angels of God worship him. Every one of them. Including Michael, Gabriel, and all of them. Praise the Lord. And he takes that quotation from Psalm 97:7. Psalm 97:7, which says, in the King James Version, confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Now that word gods, I have a copy of the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, translated some 200, 300 years before Christ. But anyway, I looked it up just last night again. I look it up every once in a while. I've got it underlined in there, and I've got an X out on the side of the sheet, and it says angels. It says angels. It says, worship him, all ye angels. Okay? So then I go to my Greek concordance, or my Hebrew concordance, and I look up the word angels. It's number 430, and you'll see a long list there under 430. You know what 430 is? That's Elohim. You know what that is? That's gods in the ordinary sense, but specifically used of the supreme God, occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates. Do you know that even magistrates, we say policemen, some people call them cops, rulers, judges, occasionally applied by way of deference to magistrates. They are called Elohim in the scripture. And we try to read, let us make man in our image, or in the beginning God said, and limit God to Elohim, or limit the word Elohim to God. And how many people have looked it up and studied it on the surface and have come back and said, the word Elohim is plural. Therefore, there are three gods. Plural doesn't mean three. Plural is two or more. So it says here there are thousands of gods. Angels. See, remember I read that? Specifically used of the supreme God. The supreme God. There is only one true God.
Amen.
The Bible says so. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But anyway, without getting into the depth of this verse, again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world. Now there's a little wonderment there over that wording where it says again. It sounds like he's saying, I bring you another verse. Again, here's another proof. But what he's really saying in the arrangement of words in the Greek text, and when he again bringeth into the world, his first begotten into the world, and when he again, in other words, they refer that to the second coming. But some refer to the resurrection of Jesus. He died, he was brought again into the world. Some refer to his incarnation when he was born in Bethlehem. The truth of the matter is that angels were present at the incarnation, they were present at the resurrection, and they will be present at the second coming. So, to me, the point is that all angels are commanded to worship him.
Praise the Lord.
At his incarnation, at his resurrection, at his second coming, and forever and always, all angels are commanded to worship him. And the writer of Hebrews uses this verse to prove the fact that Jesus is superior to all angels. Amen. You know, just think about this. It says, let all the angels of God worship him. You know the Bible teaches that there is one God, and him only shalt thou worship. Him only shalt thou serve. Only one God. And yet, Jesus never refused worship. The leper fell at his feet and worshiped him. But when men fell at angels' feet and tried to worship them, they refused the worship. See, don't do it not! Remember that? Don't worship me! Never do you read where Jesus said, don't worship me. My, they shed enough tears to wash his feet and let enough hair down to wipe his feet with the hairs of their head and worshiped him. And he never once refused their worship, but angels did. And God alone is to be worshiped. So that ought to give you a pretty big hint of who Jesus is.
Praise the
Praise the Lord. Verse 7, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. When he says angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire, he is not making a distinction between angels and ministers. This is not referring to apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Although they are ministers, this verse is saying the angels are ministers. Okay? Who maketh his angels spirits, or winds, and his ministers a flame of fire. And some say a flaming fire. And that quotation is taken from Psalm 104:4, where it says, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Angels are great. Angels are great. But as the next verse shows, they are far inferior to Jesus, the Son of God. The next verse says, but under the sun he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. And the next verse, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Those two verses are taken from Psalm 45, verses 6 and 7. And they're telling us, you can look those up, they're telling us that Jesus is God, that Jesus is deity. They're telling us that his throne is forever and ever. Excuse me. And those verses are telling us that his kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. There won't be any of this unrighteousness that we are experiencing today. What is a scepter? A scepter is a highly ornamented rod or staff held by rulers on ceremonial occasions as a symbol of authority and sovereignty. And King Jesus holds the scepter. That's what it says. Listen to it. Genesis 49:10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. This is a prophecy of Jesus. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In Numbers 24:17, believe it or not, Balaam was a prophet. The Bible says so. You got to read the New Testament to find that out, though. He said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Star? Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. They were wise men. Revelation 22:16, Jesus said, I am the bright and morning star. He said it himself. The prophet said it. He said it. I like Ezekiel chapter 21. I've never preached on this verse that I know of, but I've got to preach on it. Something in there that I haven't found yet, but it just thrills my soul every time I read it. Thus saith the Lord God, remove the diadem and take off the crown. This shall not be the same. Exalt him that is low, and abase him that is high. I will overturn it, and it shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I will give it him. Do you know who that's talking about? Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And his throne is everlasting. His scepter is a scepter of righteousness, and his throne is everlasting. Isaiah 9:7, we quote Isaiah 9:6 all the time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then the next verse, Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Listen to Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Turn to Daniel chapter 9 if you want to read. Daniel chapter 7. You want to read something exciting. Isn't it exciting to know that your God, your Father, is King Jesus, and he's going to rule and reign forever, and we are going to rule and reign with him? And the Bible says he's going to rule with a rod of iron? Yeah. it, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away. That's talking about the four beasts. Yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Previously in this chapter, if you read it, you'll find that the four kingdoms, the world kingdoms, were all destroyed. And anything that man establishes here on earth shall be destroyed. But Jesus is going to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. My advice is stick with Jesus.
Amen.
It'll pay. Verse 21, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Doesn't it appear that the world is prevailing against us today? It certainly does. It looks like they're having their way. Our city fathers sit there and say, we can't do anything about this Playboy channel coming into the city. It's all set, and, you know, we can't do anything about it. We would be denying people their rights. Listen, it looks like we're being overcome. He says, I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until. I love that word until. It's almost like reading in the Bible an impossible situation, and then it says, but God.
Amen.
I love that. So here it says, until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to who? Judgment was given to the saints of the Most High.
Hallelujah.
Just stick with Jesus. It's come. It's right around the corner. Oh. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now verse 27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Oh, listen to the last verse. Hitherto is the end of my matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Some fantastic things described in that chapter.
Praise the Lord.
But Jesus is coming, and we are on the winning side.
Amen.
Jesus didn't look like a winner hanging on the cross.
Right.
He saved others, himself he cannot save. He's a loser. That's what the world thought.
Right.
That's what, that was Friday.
Amen.
Sunday's coming. Praise the Lord. Saints of God, this is Friday maybe, but Sunday's coming. It's right around the corner. And we are faithful to him. We are going to rule and reign with him forever and ever. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do it to me in this city at any time. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee again. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to thee a son. And then again, they were going to kill Jesus when he come riding into Jerusalem that last time. I can see him on the brow of the hill looking down over the city, and he wept. The Bible says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered you together under my wings, gathered you together as a chicken does her hens or chickens, hen does her chickens, and so on. How often would I have done that? But you would not. Therefore your house is left on you desolate. But he loved them to his dying day, didn't he? He loved them hanging on the cross, pounding nails in his hands. He said, Father, when they repent, forgive them, for they know not what they do. No salvation without repentance. But he offered that forgiveness to his murderers right there. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What are we supposed to do while we are being overcome prevailed against, as the Bible said. We are to weep over lost humanity. We're not supposed to flex our muscles, shake our fingers, and say, you just wait and see. Well, when I'm, you know, and I've said that in my fun sometimes, you know, I rebuke myself, but just wait till I'm mayor of Eau Claire or governor. Boy, this stuff won't go on, you know. And it won't. And it won't. You know, because he's going to give his people, the Bible says. You know, we don't understand a lot of things. He's going to give his people the rule over cities and things like this. Hey, God's got something in store.
Amen.
But in the meantime, we weep over the lost. We pray for them, and we suffer persecution at their hands. And we seek the salvation of their souls. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
With the ushers.